Megan Walls, a pediatric psychologist at Nemours Addepont Hospital for Children. We appreciate you taking some time to join us on The Green this week. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Thank you.
All parents face instances where they need to have hard conversations with their kids, talk about difficult topics, but this one seems different, and not just because of its scope, but in other situations, parents may have personal experiences they can draw on, examples they can use to help explain things, some kind of roadmap to follow. Does engaging kids on this situation present a fairly unique challenge for parents?
Yeah, you know, I've been saying to parents a lot lately that I think just as this is a novel virus, this is a really novel situation. Most parents and kids haven't been in the situation where everyone is quarantined in the house together and we're all, you know, sort of told we're not sure when this is going to end or what's going to happen. So a lot of the unknown makes this really different, I think, than the usual conversation. But what I've been talking to parents about a lot is that it's something that we have to figure out how to address because our kids know something is up, right? Whether they're 4 or 20, they're well aware that something's going on here. So I've been encouraging parents to kind of reach out to your kids and ask what they know. So what have you heard? What do you know? For the really little guys, it might be, you know, a really quick conversation about something like there's a virus or a sickness, and we're just going to stay at home for now. You know, it doesn't have to be more complicated than that. But as kids get older, they have questions. So, you know, finding out what they know and then asking, what are your questions and how can I help you? I really, really encourage parents to be as honest as they can. So we don't need to tell kids every single thing. And in fact, for older kids, making sure they're not consuming just social media information is really important. But if your kids ask you, you know, is this a serious virus? It's okay to say yes. And scientists and doctors are trying to figure out what that means and how to help us. If kids ask things like, are people dying? The response that I think is really appropriate is there are some people who seem to get really ill. Most of them already have something else going on and they do die just like other people die from other illnesses and, you know, giving them the correct, fair, and honest answers, but not, you know, we don't have to give kids these two-hour conversations about this. And then giving them the opportunity by saying to them, please come ask me questions if you have them. I'm happy to talk to you, but not dwelling on it. So trying to find that balance is pretty tricky. And I think the other tricky part is that kids are supposed to be doing schoolwork. Parents are supposed to be working. And it's really figuring out also how to navigate this new quote-unquote normal for now.
Yeah, I want to dive into a couple of these different things you touched on there. And one is, this approach to children. You mentioned kind of engaging them a little bit in conversation and not waiting for them to come to you. Is it also important to maybe kind of continually kind of just check in with them and just kind of take their temperature on how they're feeling and what's going on at any given time and not just to feel like, okay, I have one conversation with them. If they don't come back to me, everything's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a really nice and easy way to do that is, you know, you don't have to tell them this, but just kind of think about, oh, I asked them on Monday, maybe, you know, in 3 or 4 days on Wednesday or Thursday, I'll check in with them. And if they don't have questions, not pushing it. So especially for our younger guys, I think they were all really confused in the beginning, but kids are pretty resilient. A lot of them are taking this sort of as, all right, well, now we're home, so let's make the most of it. But making sure you're still checking in. I think a lot of kids have a lot of questions, and understandably, it's anxiety provoking. Never in any of our lives before have we all been told, stay home, don't go out. There's a really scary virus out there. So, you know, finding that balance, I think, is really important.
You mentioned, you know, tough questions. And there are some questions that kids are going to have that parents just may not be able to answer on their own. You know, what are some of the best ways to handle those kind of questions where you're like, hey, that's a question I have too?
Yeah. So I think a couple things. One is you have to be comfortable saying to your kids, you know, I don't know that answer. Let me get back to you. It's just like we would say, you know, if someone asks a question at work, we didn't know, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure this out together. But it's okay to say you don't know. I really encourage folks to look to experts. So a lot of pediatric experts are doing videos and articles. Nemours Kids Health has quite a few both articles and YouTube videos about how to talk to your kids and or how do we talk to kids about the things they do have control about. So I think those are two categories, right? We have that sort of let's teach kids about social distancing and washing your hands and let's give them some control. And then the second piece of how do we talk about this if it is making kids upset or anxious. So I think certainly it's okay to not know the answer. That's what we're here for. And to kind of say, I'll go look for that answer. For your older kids, it's okay for teenagers to have them involved with you. So let's go look together at a really reputable source versus let's see what your friend put on Snapchat, right, about whatever's going on, because those are not the best ways to get information. But a lot of our teenagers are getting it that way. And when I'm doing, you know, telehealth with kids, I think that's one of the things I'm making sure to also tell families. So watch where the information is actually coming in from for your kids.
I was going to say news coverage, social media, virtually impossible to avoid. And certainly the information it provides on this outbreak is almost impossible to avoid. How can parents kind of keep that flood of information from creating anxiety without, you know, basically telling your kids, you know, don't go on social media, don't watch TV type of response?
So I think there's two pieces to this. I think there's our younger kids. Turn off your TV. Turn off your news when your kids are in the room, if you're eating dinner together. Another really important piece is adults are talking almost over kids about this. So, you know, I've heard neighbors even talking about, oh, I'm so scared of this or that. Make sure you're checking your conversations when your little guys are around. Honesty doesn't mean we're flooding them with information. For your older kids, I actually strongly encourage, and this is across the board, but even more now, to have a time of night where teenagers, you know, put their phones outside the room or in a basket, or adults take them, because they can go down a rabbit hole really quickly and you're not really able to catch on there. But I think also having a really honest conversation with your kids. There's only so much news we can all take in. We'll make sure to tell you what's going on. But, you know, as a teenager, I really encourage you to turn off your phone or to turn off the news feed even. You know, text your friends, but don't be on the news feed that you're reading on Twitter. And to have that honest conversation, because I think the truth is it's a trap we're all falling into right now, whether it's kids or adults. And sure. So we need to be able to set good models.
Another source of anxiety could be parents themselves. They're, as you mentioned, you know, they're working at home where kids can see the stress that they're dealing with, or maybe dealing with job loss, while they're also trying to, as you said, manage the kids who are at home trying to learn. Is that something parents really need to be mindful of, is, you know, realizing their kids can kind of see them in their work environment and whatever stress they're going through?
Absolutely. So one of the things I've been talking a lot to parents about is quantity time over quality time. We are all in the same space right now, but that doesn't mean that your kids are getting from you what they need. And in fact, it might mean exactly what you're saying, which is they're actually seeing you at a different stress level and a different presentation than normal. And so making sure you're balancing that, because we can't just say we're not going to work or we're not going to be stressed about work, especially those of us in the healthcare world. But what we can say is, I'm going to make time for you and I'm going to make sure I'm connecting with you. So what I've been encouraging parents to do is look at your schedule, you know, ahead of time, find maybe a 15-minute break in your morning, a 15-minute break in your afternoon, and then a family dinner time if you can, and sort of address that with your kids. Hey, I'm really busy today. I know mommy looks stressed. I'm really okay. This is just how work goes sometimes. At 2:15 today, do you want to play a card game with me? Kids are really resilient, and so are teens. So if you can kind of give them that balance, it really, really helps.
There's also the issue of older relatives like grandparents. Kids are, you know, being asked essentially, hey, you know, avoid contact with, you know, grandma or grandpa. Is that something that's also, you know, your parents have to really kind of have a strategy for?
Yeah, so I think this is a really hard one. I personally have young kids who don't understand. You know, my five-year-old asks pretty much every other day why Grammy can't come over, because she's pretty used to seeing her. So we've had a conversation again, and I've encouraged parents to do this about we can still have social connections without seeing people in person. So, you know, helping your grandparents get set up on FaceTime or Zoom or any of those things is great. And honestly, it's beneficial for both of them, right? So we have probably our retired generation in their homes, and we have kiddos and teenagers who are bored and have parents working. So I think it does a twofold thing. It both provides that connection, but it also sort of takes up some of that time. But I think, again, it goes back to the honesty piece. We can't say to our kids something like, well, we'll see them soon, if we don't know that that's the truth. Instead, what we can say is, I really miss grandma, grandpa, your friend, whomever it is, too. I also really wish we could see them. We talked about why that's not safe right now. What else can we do to help you? And another thing I've been encouraging is, you know, good old like snail mail and sending letters. Kids aren't really doing that as much these days, and they're really enjoying it when I've suggested it to some folks. So I think there's other ways we can connect, but I still think it's important to be honest with kids.
And let's talk about the social interaction for kids, because obviously they're somewhat cut off from their own friends. No school, activity, sports canceled. For tweens and teens who are already interacting by text, instant messaging, social media and such, maybe that's less of an issue. But for younger kids who parents might have been reluctant to allow them into those realms just yet, should they seek opportunities maybe to let their kids connect online with their friends to socialize and open that door a little bit?
Absolutely. There's been a couple really great things that have happened. One thing that it has been, I've checked it out in detail, is Facebook has created a kids messenger account, so parents have to have an account and approve other kids to talk to your kids. But my second grader, for instance, is able to do math this morning with one of her good friends on that. It works sort of like FaceTime. I think you can let your kids use your phone, so as long as you're supervising, right, as long as you know what they're doing, I actually really encourage it. It's helping kids feel connected, and I think it's just a matter of parents having their hands sort of in it to make sure it's being safe and that they're using the right thing. I don't want, 8-year-olds downloading Snapchat, but I think there is certainly ways we can do this in a safe manner. And kids do, right? I mean, there are kiddos who are 8, 9, 10 who have probably these apps like Instagram and Snapchat that are not appropriate because we can't really completely rein that in. But I think if you can take the approach of, I want my kids to be safe but also social, then you can explore some of these options. I know a lot of classrooms are using Zoom. I think that's a great idea. But the two things that I've seen kids use that I think are pretty safe is like FaceTime to people they know and this Facebook Kids Messenger app. They've both been pretty great to see kids being able to interact with each other without the worry of, sort of the public eye on them.
Are there some other tips you have for parents to help keep their kids in a positive frame of mind during this time?
Yeah, so the thing that I think is really important here, I mentioned quality time over quantity time, but I also think it's really easy for all of us to get frustrated, anxious, sort of more irritable than normal. And I think the thing we need to remember is that during this time, we really need to give our kids some grace and ourselves some grace. And I think if we can reframe this as what can I do in the realm of positive parenting versus what can I do to stop them from driving me crazy, we're in a better place. So, quality time, super, super important. Praising our kids when they are doing well. For little kids, I've been recommending things like, we call it the catch them being good jar. So get a jar, get a thing of marbles. Every time you see them do something you like, you put a marble in the jar. That's a really easy way for you to shape behavior at home. For your older kids, making their phone and screen time a privilege. So saying to them, I really need you to get these three things done today. And when you do, I'm going to give you free rein until bedtime of your screen time. So making sure we're sort of rewording in a positive manner really changes the entire dynamic. And it prevents a lot of that irritation and I think stress that's happening between parents and kids.
And finally, are there any things parents should look for as reasons to be concerned that maybe their child is having more difficulty than would normally be expected?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I think that's always my last point whenever I'm speaking on any of these things. So the things we look for are really a change in your kids' functioning. And what I mean by that is they're not sleeping. They're not eating. They're crying more. They're upset more. Maybe they are unable to, get up and do the things they need to do. And if that's happening, really, I encourage parents to reach out to either your pediatrician or if you have a mental health provider. The positive thing in this pandemic is that behavioral health providers, so pediatric psychologists, adult psychologists, social workers have managed to move our practice mostly to telehealth and telemedicine. So certainly, parents should reach out if they're having a hard time with their kiddos and they really think it's not a normal adjustment to some of these things. We really encourage people to reach out at this time. And again, we're lucky because we're able to mostly do telehealth with our patients and clients so that we can make sure that we're taking care of kids as they need.
Megan Walls, a pediatric psychologist at Nemours Aide-de-Pont Hospital for Children. We appreciate you taking some time to join us on The Green this week. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Thank you.